This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is retired U.S. Army General Paul Vallely, who served as the deputy commanding U.S. general in the Pacific. He is the author most recently of Blood for Our Future and is involved in the launching of the new website SaveOurDemocracy.org, designed to get vital information out to the American people that contradicts what he sees as the misinformation they're getting from the mainstream media. We want to get his thoughts today, obviously, on the 8th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. In general, it's always good to have you with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Well, I was just telling you before we started here that you and I were on the air with one another on that very day in the wake of the attacks on 9/11. You were actually stranded as a result of the shutdown of the air system at an airport in Atlanta, but we talked about how the response to these attacks needed to be swift and comprehensive, dealing with all the different terror threats in the world, especially the one that orchestrated the attacks on this country, but the larger problem as a whole. How good of a job do you think we've done?
Well, in many areas, Greg, I think we've done a superb job in protecting America from another 9/11 attack, though we see now our forces deployed heavily into Iraq still, and of course Afghanistan, which is not going too well. So I think it goes back, we can say, well, these are the things that went right, these are the things that went wrong, particularly overseas, in our strategy and what we have done to defeat the network of radical Islamist terrorists. But we know the heart of that matter lies today in Iran. Iran supplying, again, IEDs, bombs, rockets to radical Islamic forces, not only in Iraq, but in Afghanistan. And then we have the situation, of course, in the tribal areas, Waziristan and Pakistan. So I'm more concerned, not about going back and saying, wish we had done this, wish we had done that. We've done many things right, like I've said, but we really have to have a strategy for victory. We can't continue to stretch our armed forces out on an extended period of time, so we need to come up with a way, if in fact the threat is against the United States over there in Afghanistan. The solution, in my opinion, is not more troops, but a better strategy to defeat the nests that are over there. And we can't just do it with the predators, taking out a dozen or so of forces there. So we've written several articles, General McInerney and I have just recently. We need to get more Muslim nations involved in fighting the radical Muslims because more Muslims are being killed. So the time is for a new strategy, and that's what we have to do, Greg.
In general, you brought up a number of points there. Let's talk about them quickly one at a time. First of all, you talked about a new strategy in Afghanistan. I know you and I have talked before about a smaller, more lethal force there, kind of the lily pad strategy, as you've termed it, with a lot more use of special forces rather than huge numbers of troops there. Explain briefly how you think that would be more effective.
Well, first of all, I'm a big believer in using proxy forces and paying them to do the job overseas in their area. I'm not a big believer in the conventional big base setups where we have to logistically support them. We should have learned from Vietnam. We have to have good intelligence, find the enemy, and take them out for those enemy organizations and locations that are a direct threat to the United States. And I don't feel one Afghan village is worth even one American life the way we're doing it right now. So we put excessive rules of engagement on our forces, as was proven again last week with the loss of some four of our soldiers in Afghanistan. So again, when you look at 9/11, what have we done? Where are we at right now? And do we have the leadership in place that's going to achieve victory for America and protect us? So I go back to the lily pad. Let's find out where they are, take them out, and return to home base. And let's get off of this massive force buildup and requiring so much logistics and assets and rotation of forces in and out of these big bases. We've got 20,000 armed forces alone at Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan. So, give the Afghans a gun and get them out there, Many of them have fought in the war already, and you don't have to take years to train these people to fire a gun and go out there and kill the enemy, because one day they're with the Taliban, the next day they're not. So we really need somebody to take hold that has a good vision about what needs to be done to defeat the enemy and bring our forces back.
General, you also talked about the need to recruit non-radical Muslim nations to the cause. I know the Bush administration tried to do that. They even had a whole messaging program going out of the State Department. What do you believe is the key to doing that, rather than having even the moderate Muslim population be swayed to the argument that the radicals are making, that we're the problem rather than them?
Well, there are more Muslims being killed than anybody, so they're shirking their responsibility. You know, if we had, in Western democracies, out-of-control governments that are inflicting damage on neighbors, going outside their borders to blow up people, to blow up buildings, as we saw happen in Pakistan and India, then they've got to share the responsibility here. And you just can't make it a religious, ideological situation with the Muslim countries. It's a matter of threat. And we know Saudi feels a threat from Iran. Iran is still the center of terror. And they use proxies, Hezbollah, Islamic Jihad, and a number of other organizations. So there's a smart way to fight this war without having these big bases where we should be operating from our safe lily pad bases. Our fleets are a good example of the lily pads that we have out there. But strike the enemy, take them down. Bring the forces back home, and we'll strike again. It's just not a way to fight an unconventional war.
Last question for you, General, before we let you go. And obviously, as we've mentioned, and everyone knows today, it's been 8 years since 9/11. We saw in Iraq public support wane over time. It's now seeming to wane in Afghanistan. That may be the particular implementation of the policy rather than the mission overall. But what's your sense of the stomach we all still have for this fight?
Well, listen, Sun Tzu, the famous Chinese war strategist, said, prolonged warfare benefits no one. And that's why I've been against calling this a long war. Let's fight the war that's here right now. Let's fight it smart. Let's use our assets. Let's not put in all these rules of engagement on our forces that we're using. And we're basically tying our hands behind our back. So, again, we've got to go back to a new strategy, and we've got to put it in effect and bring victory early. We have to know what victory is. We have to be able to say it.
Is that the job of the president, to articulate
that? Absolutely, and he has no clue about military strategy, and I have a feel we have a very weak national security team now, and they don't have a grasp of it. And even President Bush early on did well. We took down the Taliban and al-Qaeda in 34 days with 100 special ops forces and air power. That was in the fall of 2001. Here we are 8 years later trying to plus up another 20 to 40,000 troops over there. And it's just not the way to fight this war against a bunch of radical Islamists.
General, unfortunately, we need to call time there. Thank you, sir, as always, for your time and your insight.
Okay, Greg, thank you.
Retired U.S. Army General Paul Vallely served as Deputy Commanding General in the Pacific, author most recently of Blood for Our Future, and most recently helping to found the new online news source, SaveOurDemocracy.org. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.